Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. It's the healing of blind Bartimaeus. They came to Jericho, and as he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, a son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go. Your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. This is the word of our Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my lips and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Pastor James Moore tells a story about early in his ministry. It was this beautiful spring day. The phone rang in our home, he says, on a Sunday afternoon. I answered, and a young man on the other end of the line said he needed to tell me something and then to ask me a question. And the words just came out in this rush of emotion. He told me that a month ago he was in church, and he felt God touching his heart, urging him to come down front to be baptized and to join the church. It was so powerful, he said. I knew God was there calling me to do this, but he said, I procrastinated when the time came to join. I felt strongly that I should come forward, but I was up there in the balcony in the middle of a crowded pew, and I began to think of all the reasons not to come. I was so far away from the front. I might disturb the other people who were sitting in that aisle. I might not get there in time. So he said, I just grabbed hold of the back of the pew and held on for dear life. And then it was too late. The service was over. He said, I walked out of the church so disgusted with myself. I knew deep in my heart that God wanted me to come down, make my commitment to Christ and the church. And I had fought it off. The man went on to describe how disappointed he was in himself and how much he regretted letting that special moment pass. And then he said, I promised God that if it ever felt that way again, I would seize that moment and to act upon it boldly. I promised God I would do that. He paused for a moment, and then with some embarrassment, he said, it happened again. This morning. It happened again. God touched my heart in church this morning, and I'm so ashamed to tell you that I did the same thing that I had done before. I grabbed hold of that pew in front of me, and I fought it off again, and I did nothing. I've been miserable all afternoon. I'm so mad at myself. And then he said, Jim, just before I called you, I said a prayer and I told God how bad I feel that God gave me these two special moments, and I turned away from both of them. And I made God a promise that I intend to keep. I promised God that I was going to get baptized before the sun goes down tonight. And Jim, here's the question. Will you baptize me before the sun goes down tonight? James Moore said, well, of course I will. And he said, I forgot to mention, but I promised God I would get baptized by immersion. He said, I feel so dirty because of how I failed twice before. I want to be washed clean. I want to be immersed. Well, you know, James Moore said, I'll have to make some arrangements. I'll need to call Bethany Christian or River Oaks Baptist to see if we could use their baptistry. They might have services going on right now. We might have to wait till tomorrow. And then Then the young man interrupted James Moore's ramblings and said, "I don't think you heard me." James Moore said, "Pardon me?" He said, "I promised God that I'd be baptized by immersion before the sun goes down tonight. I'd like you to do it, but if you can't do it, I'll find somebody else who will." Well, still trying to figure out just how to handle this and how to help this young man, James Moore said, "Well, I do want to baptize you. I'd be honored. But I'm trying to figure out the best way to get this done this afternoon." And he said, "Don't you all have a swimming pool down there at the church?" "Well, as a matter of fact, we do. Yes, we do," James said. "Well, what's wrong with that?" he asked. James Moore said, "Well, nothing, I guess. Meet me at the pool at 5 p.m. Well, as James Moore drove to the church, however, all these worries and questions were running through his head. "Is it okay to baptize somebody in a swimming pool? What did they teach me in seminary about this? I couldn't remember this ever coming up before. What does the discipline of the church say about this? I'm new to this Texas conference. Will they kick me out for doing this? Oh my goodness, what if the bishop finds out about this? What will he say or do to me?" Moore had all of these haunting questions going through his mind until he saw that young man standing there by the pool waiting for him. He says, "I'll never forget the look on his face, James Moore said. The commitment, the urgency, the passion, the gratitude, the relief, the determination, the intensity, the resolve on this young man's face. It was incredible." And as James Moore greeted the young man, he said, "I don't know what the letter of the law of the church says about this, but I know one thing. I know what Jesus would do." Moore said he could hardly get those baptismal questions out before the young man would answer with just great enthusiasm. "Do you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior of your life?" "Yes, I do. Absolutely, I do. Oh, man, do I ever. Do you promise to live a Christian life?" "Yes, yes, yes." "And finally, do you want to be baptized in this faith?" "Absolutely, absolutely. Yes, I do. Yes, I do." James Moore took his hand, prayed, led him down into the pool, baptized him, and received him into the church. It was a beautiful moment where the presence of God, he said, was felt by both men. By the way, the very next Sunday morning, he came down at the end of the service to make his public profession of faith in Jesus Christ, and he became very active and an effective member in that church. That young man, I know that's kind of a long story, sorry, but that young man in his unshakable determination that day reminds me of Bartimaeus. In this powerful story that we just heard in Mark 10, we see dramatically that even though Bartimaeus was blind, he saw vividly this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity he had coming up as Jesus approached. Remember the story. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. He actually was on his way to the cross when he encountered this man, Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus, who was blind, was sitting by the roadside in Jericho doing what he did daily, begging for money. Obviously, he had heard about Jesus. Bartimaeus sensed strongly that this was his moment. This was his chance. So when Jesus came near, Bartimaeus began to cry out urgently, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Crowd, of course, tried to hush him. They thought Jesus was too busy, was too important to be bothered with the likes of Bartimaeus, this poor, wretched, blind beggar. But Bartimaeus would not be denied. He would not be hushed. No. He cried out desperately, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Suddenly Jesus stopped. He turned around somehow, amazingly, over the noise of the crowd, Jesus heard that urgent cry of Bartimaeus. Jesus called for him. Bartimaeus, Bartimaeus, the people said, get up, he's calling for you. Bartimaeus threw off his cloak, sprang up, made his way through the crowd into the presence of Jesus. Notice here how gracious Jesus was with him. Jesus was not presumptuous or arrogant or controlling. Humbly, even gently, he asks Bartimaeus, what would you like me to do for you? Bartimaeus says, my teacher, let me see again. And then Jesus said to him, go, your faith has made you well. The scriptures tell us that the blind man Bartimaeus then received his sight, listened, and I said, I think we should listen to this. The last part of that, he says, he followed Jesus on the way. What a great story this is. Great drama, great characters, great theology, and great lessons I think we can learn here. So let me just lift up three great lessons I think we discover in this story. The lessons of grit, grace, and faith. First, there's this lesson of grit. If you look up the word grit in the Thesaurus, I think I said that right, you'll find there are these synonyms. Gutsy, bravery, stamina, backbone, fortitude. The meaning of the word grit comes into, I think, even sharper focus when we look at the antonyms, the opposites. Timidity, fearfulness, faint-heartedness, cold feet. So for the purposes now, let me define the word like this. Grit is the courage to sense and seize the moment. And you see, that's exactly what Bartimaeus did. Bartimaeus' special qualities jump out, I think, in this story. His persistence, his boldness, his perseverance, his determination, his awareness of the power that was in this moment. His faith, his unwillingness to give in to fear of embarrassment, of course. And his intense understanding, just like that young man at the swimming pool, that it's now or never for me. Now or never. All these great attributes are found, I think, in Bartimaeus' true grit. So let me tell you a story about someone whose name is Jerry. He's a great example of the spirit of grit. Jerry was one of those guys who was always in a good mood, always had something positive to say. Ask him how he was doing, and he would always say, if I were any better, I would be twins. Well, someone once asked him, of course, why he always was so upbeat. Jerry said, well, each morning I wake up and I say to myself, Jerry, you have two choices. You can choose to be in a good mood or you can choose to be in a bad mood. Each time something bad happens, I can choose to be a victim or I can choose to learn from it. I choose to learn from it. I choose the positive side of life, he said. Life is all about choices. When you cut away all the junk, every situation is a choice. You choose how you react to situations. You choose how people affect your mood. The bottom line, it's your choice how you live life. And I choose to live and be positive and to celebrate life. Well, Jerry was a manager of a restaurant, and one morning he was held up at gunpoint by three armed robbers. And while trying to open the safe, his nervous hand slipped off of the combination. The robbers panicked and they shot him. Well, luckily, Jerry was found quickly, rushed to the trauma center. Jerry said that when he saw the sad expressions on the faces of the doctors and the nurses, he read in their eyes just fear that probably this man is a goner. Well, when Jerry saw that, he knew that he had to take action. And so when they asked him if he were allergic to anything, he said, yes, I'm allergic to bullets. As the medical team laughed, Jerry said, "I'm choosing to live. So operate on me as if I am alive, not dead." Well, after 18 hours of surgery, weeks of intensive care, Jerry was released from the hospital with fragments of bolts, or some of them still in his body. Everywhere he went, when people asked him how he was doing, Jerry would say, "If I were any better, I would be twins. Want to see my scars?" Jerry lived thanks to the skill of some great doctors, nurses, but also because of his faith and his determination, his grit. That's lesson number one. I think that we learned from this Bartimaeus story, the lesson of grit. Second, there's a lesson of grace. The Bartimaeus story, I think, is jammed full of amazing grace, the saving, healing, redemptive, eye-opening, life-changing power of God's miraculous and gracious love. Pastor Tyrone Gordon tells about his years in ministry. He said that when he first got out of seminary, he wanted to show everybody how educated he was. So on his first appointment after graduating from a seminary, every Sunday he would quote the great theologians like Karl Barth, Paul Tillich, Rudolf Bultmann, Reinhold Niebuhr. Well, after several Sundays of that, Tyrone said, "Well, Sister Jones pulled me aside and said, 'Tyrone, we don't care about all that. Tell us about Jesus.'" Sister Jones was right, wasn't she? We don't really need to know about existentialism, eschatology. Those are all seminary words. All we need to know about is Jesus and his amazing grace. All we need to know about is Jesus and the power he gives us to bring miracles into our life, to give us a new life, a new start, a new chance, a new vision. I think, isn't it beautiful here in Mark 10 how Jesus not only heals Bartimaeus and restores his sight, but he does it so tenderly, so graciously. Everybody else considered Bartimaeus to be an outcast, a low life, you might say. But Jesus treated him with love and dignity and respect. I think there's a name for that. It's called grace. And that's the second lesson that we learn in this great story. And then finally, I'm getting to the end. Finally, we see the power of Bartimaeus' faith in Jesus. "Go," Jesus said to Bartimaeus. "Your faith has made you well." I think this is a refrain that is echoed several times in the Gospels. Your faith has healed you. Your faith has made you well. Sir Harry Lauder was a Scottish music hall and vaudeville singer, comedian, first half of the 20th century, who was highly popular throughout the English-speaking world, both before and during and after World War I. Well, during World War I, Lauder worked tirelessly to organize, recruit performers so that they could give shows to the troops, of course, that were overseas. Unfortunately, his own son, Captain J.C. Lauder, was killed in combat shortly before New Year's, 1917. But despite his son's death, Harry Lauder continued to publicly rally support for the war. And he once explained his ability to carry on after his son's death to a friend. He said, "When a man comes to a thing like this, there are three ways out of it. There is drink, there is despair, there is God. By God's grace, the last is for me," he said. Some of you today may know what he's talking about. It's so easy to give in to despair and to depression. Quite often, the only thing that keeps us going is our faith in God, right? That's how it was for Bartimaeus. He refused to give in to despair. Instead, he was determined and faithful, and by grace, he was healed. That's the good news. Regardless of who we may be or regardless of our circumstances, Jesus cares. We need to have that grit to trust that and to accept Jesus' grace by faith. May we all just do that. Amen.